Do you have your Bibles? Glory to God. Yeah, we want to go to Colossians chapter 1:23 for, I'm reading the King James Version. I want to talk to you about losing hope or not losing hope. And the question is, don't lose hope. Look at your neighbor and say, don't lose hope. Don't lose hope. All right? So it says, if you continue in the faith, grounded and settled, be not moved away from the hope of the gospel. Well, the gospel means good news, appropriately, of course, about salvation, but it's for anything else. You can't be moved away from any kind of promise of God. He said, which you have heard, which was preached to every creature, which is under heaven, wherefore I, Paul, made a minister. I want to say today that there's hope for the hopeless. You know, there's a lady, a German, Cori ten Boom, a Holocaust survivor from in the Nazi Germany camp. She was a champion of having a great attitude. She said, you don't know how strong and how relevant your anchor is until you're in a storm. You know, when you're going through battles in life, tough times will come to all of us. And I know you don't like to hear this, but you will go through tough times. You will go through tough times. You will not. The Bible says, many are the afflictions of the righteous. And we have a tendency to forget this, but the Lord will deliver you out of all of them. Amen? Amen? So when you're in a tough time, it's easy to forget. You know, you get into your emotions. You forget about things. The Bible says in Hebrews 6:9, this is the hope. This hope is a strong, trustworthy anchor for our souls. You know, hope is an anchor. It stabilizes you when the winds of life, adversities come in your way. Could be financial, could be a relationship issue, it could be work-related, career. It could be things that you've done yourself, you're overworked, now you're tired, and you feel like giving up. I know sometimes, have you ever felt you worked so hard, you seem to lose hope. There's a man that said, you know, even the strongest people in the world, if they're tired, they become, you know, I forget what that extra word is. Cowards, yeah, that's what it is. Anybody like to be a coward? One guy says, well, I don't mind. Anyway. In the book of Acts, which I'll read later in a more clear fashion, Acts 28 or 27, verse 13, Paul and his crew were on board. They were in a hopeless situation. The Bible says, when the light wind began blowing from the south, we all like that light wind, which we've experienced lots this winter. The sailors thought they could make it. You know, there's a time in our lives when we see a glimmer of hope, a little light of hope, a fresh word or something coming your way. They thought they could make it, so they pulled up anchor and sailed close to the shores. You know, it's nice to see shore if you're on a vessel that's going down. And it's nice to see that you're going to make it. In our lives, we need to learn that you're going to make it, right? So, you know, as an introduction, I want to say, in certain difficult situations, you know, we hear people, and I've heard people, you've heard people say, don't get your hopes too high. I've had people say, you know, you're giving people false hope when we try to give an encouragement. And, we need to get our hopes in God, and we need to get them high in God. It seems today that people are losing hope. I saw one of my friends, a Christian brother, saying that, you know, we're losing hope here. I mean, people are dying, people are getting sick, and different things are going on. For instance, just recently heard, and you've heard it too, people have said families, individuals, can find affordable housing right here in our city and across the nation, everywhere. They're losing hope. Food is skyrocketed. People are taking sometimes more from the normal people. Fuel, heating costs are high. We need to keep our hopes in God's economy. The Bible says God shall supply all our needs according to the Trudeau government. No? According to United States of America, if they're strong. According to if you have a job. No? According to Jesus. According to his riches and glory. And you know, he's got more than enough for us. He's a God that's more than enough. Your job is just a place where God has provided for you. That's one area. You can believe for more. You can believe for more. God has different avenues to bless you. I got a few myself. I'm not going to tell everybody because they'd be doing the same thing. Anyway, what is hope? You know, you ever ask yourself, what is hope? Let's go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 here, the Amplified Bible. It says, now faith is the assurance, the title deed, the confirmation. Faith, or the Word of God, the Word, you know, you only get faith from God's Word. Hello? There's no other way to get faith. You can't pray for faith. You can't fast for faith. You can't have somebody lay hands on you. You get word, you get faith by God's Word. Reading Word, the Word of God, and listening to the Word of God. That's the only way you get faith. So, once you get that Word, it's the title deed of what you want. It's the confirmation you have something that's not in your possession at the moment. That's what faith is. He said, I got it now. And it says, of the things hoped for. Hope is always something future. And we'll talk a little bit more in a minute about it. Divinely guaranteed, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of their reality. Faith comprehends as a fact what we cannot experience by our physical senses. There are things that you might not feel that are absolutely yours right now in this life. Say, for instance, if you're sick in your body and something going on in there, you're healed even though you're actually sick right now. You're just as much healed as much as you are saved. And that's what the Bible says. God, give us health, healing. When Jesus put on the cross, he took our infirmities and bore our sins. The Bible says. You know, sometimes people, we don't, you know, it's amazing what God's Word will do. We don't think God's going to do something. Yesterday, I took Pastor Ken with me, and I was because I was scared. I needed help. I went to the hospital, and we were sitting there in the ICU, waiting for those people to show up or somebody to show up, and so to pray for someone. It was at the edge. And, you know, I've gone so many times to different places. And it's not always pleasant. You have to go there with faith. Amen. So just waiting there for somebody. It's always good to have a partner with you if you go somewhere. So I took Ken with me. I can call him Ken because he's Ken to me. He's not my pastor. So you know, you call him Ken, Pastor Ken, because you know he's a pastor here. And so you should call him Pastor Ken. And so just don't call him Bishop. and I go to his head. It's another name for pastor, anyway, the word bishop. So, but the bishop has a little bit more power to it. A little bit more gusto. So, anyway, I forget what I was going to say about that. But anyway, I'll get back to you. I'll get back to you. Anyway, the word hope, I was looking at the Greek here. It says, it's spelled in the Greek, it says the word hope in the New Testament is from the Greek word elpis, E-L-P-I-S. According to Strong's Concordance, elpis means expectation, trust, confidence. It comes from the root word elpo. I remember years ago there was a dog food called elpo. How many of you remember that? Lauren Green. Yes, it's Lauren Green. And elpo is the best food. And so I went and bought some, and it didn't taste that good. Anyways. It means to anticipate with pleasure to welcome. Amen? So that's what hope means. You're just anticipating. You know it's happening. It's going to happen. And you're expecting any moment. You know what? In some areas, some of you need to really, really get that hope up. And you can only get that from reading God's Word. I'll say that again. The only way you're going to get it is through looking at God's Word and finding the promises in there. If there's a promise in there, it belongs to you. Amen. And when we don't have anything to rely on this world to tell you that you have something in your senses, in your mind, reason would tell you you don't have the promises of God. Faith tells you. So faith tells you, if you go with reason, you'll never make it on that alone. There are sometimes you have to go with reason, you know, with anything else that's natural, but there's sometimes you have to go to the Word of God and look at it from that perspective, because if you look at it from your angle, with your five senses, you're not going to make it. And so you have to stick with the Word of God, and that's why I said that the Word of God says it's an anchor. It stabilizes you when the storms of life come, when there's no money. What's that, Habakkuk, the last chapter, the last verse, I think it is? It says, when there's no more money, when there's no more provision, I will still believe God. Eh? We believe God. And so thank God for His Word. The dictionary definition of hope, a noun, means a feeling that what is wanted can be had, or that the events will turn out for the best. So we, you know, this is a dictionary. Even it's a little positive. The verb says to look forward with desire and reasonable confidence, to believe, desire, and trust. The Bible says those who place their hope in God will never be disappointed. The psalmist says, guard my soul and rescue me. Do not let me be ashamed or disappointed, for I have taken refuge in you. Psalm 25:20. So what hope isn't? You know, we know what hope is. We have to know what hope is not. If this is you, you need to do some study. Hope isn't wishing. Hope is not pretending things are going to be okay. You have to know they're going to be okay. And that's through God's Word. Hope is not chance or a possibility or a percentage that there is going to be, things are going to be okay. You know, hope says You know, not wishing, I wish this was going to happen, but hope says, I know it's going to happen. That's the knowing. There's a different thing. That's why you can have a smile on your face when things are going bad. Things might be going bad all around you. You might be losing money. People might be against you. But you got a smile on your face because you know things are going to change your way. You get that by walking with God and walking with His Word every day. Not just once in a while. Not when you feel like reading the Word. No, every day. Everyone say, every day. So that means in the morning, the first thing you do is you read your word. The last thing you do at night is read the word. And throughout the day, you get the word somehow. Like, I went to the gym yesterday. I listened to a different series. I listened to Keith Moore. And I listened to a couple of tapes there. I go work out. And I listened to that instead of listening to 580 CKPR or something like that, or 70s. Every day in my car, I listen to, you know, when I get into my car and I drive our editor home, he says, let's listen to that, the funeral music. No, it's just a kind of a nice, soft background music that I pray all the time, driving down the road. I'm just praying out loud and just having a good time, and people think I'm singing, you know, 70s or something. But hallelujah. So what is Bible hope anyway? The Bible declares that hope means confident expectation that something good is going to happen. Jeremiah 29 says, in God we have a wonderful future without calamity, tragedy, or catastrophe. You know, not a bad outcome, but something good, a good outcome. He says this in Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the plans I have, the thoughts that I have for you. I know, if God knows, we should know. Plans of peace and well-being and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope. Jeremiah 29:11, the Amplified says, hope gives us a positive picture of the future. You could be in a hard time right now, but in your mind and heart, you're seeing the future of what God's Word says. You got a picture there. You might say that hope will give you a blueprint of what God's built for you. It's there. What's ahead in life regarding your business, your family, whatever it is, it's there. It's a painted image in your heart and mind of what God has in store for every one of His children. Hope is supernatural. This hope is not something that, you know, a fleeting feeling of, oh, I just got some hope right now. But no, hope is stable in you. It's supernatural just as much as love and faith is. Hope gives us direction in life. It makes life more livable in times of distress. In a very difficult time, some people will lose hope and end up giving up to their negative surroundings or what people are saying. In times like this, hope makes you arise above the trial. And you don't have to go to people to give you this. You can get this in your bedroom with your Bible yourself. Amen. And if you take what someone taught you, you know, you need people to teach you, like myself or somebody else who studied it and show you where it is in the Bible so that you can find it yourself. And then when you find it yourself, then you can read it yourself. Right? We're just pointing you where to go here. Let me just show you here. For instance, Abraham and Sarah in their old age had no natural hope in receiving a child as their heir. And you can relate to that in some area in your life in some fashion. But God gave them a promise that from their loins, from their very physical bodies, they would bring forth a child even way past their prime of producing children. That's something else. God gave him a specific word. When there was no reason, everybody said no reason. You know, sometimes you have no reason. You have no reason to be sitting in that chair right now, but God made it possible. Right? You could be sitting in jail or you could be dead, some of you. I know this lady right here could have been dead. She's going to give a testimony. I know one time I went to see Jean. She looked like the picture of death. I didn't say that, but she did look picture of death. She was dying, basically. And I want to tell you something. This woman has faith beyond 10 preachers. I'm glad I'm surrounded by faith people. I can tell you stories about different things. I remember when she's just a woman of in her single life with two children. I remember the day I was over in we were just in different we before we actually stabilized. We were in different places. Moving around, we were nomads, going from place to place, different hotels, and we were at the St. Joseph Heritage. And I remember a couple instances that really struck me. I believe she gave me $11,000, if I'm not sure, at that time. I said, I can't take this. This is a single woman with two children. How could I take this? What are they going to say on CKPR? He said, no, Pastor, I'm believing God for this ministry. I'm believing God for this church building we're buying. She's still with us after how many years? Now, you don't want to lose people like that. I remember another time, this little old woman here, beautiful little old woman, I was, hopeless. My wife and I, we just left our careers, and we just finished our university training. God called me to the ministry. Either I was going to the ministry or I'm going to go to work. And I was called to go to work at some First Nations. They said, we'll give you a good job. I'll give your wife a job, and you'll start you at $50,000. This is like 25 years ago, 30 years ago, more than that now. And we were both, we're going to get some good money, and then... start this ministry on $0. And we're sitting there in November, something at the end of November, early December, and we're waiting like, what are we going to do here? We got no money. And the landlord says, you have to move. And it seemed like a hopeless situation. We had nowhere to go. And we were just renting a building, renting a house, and we didn't have any money to buy food or anything like that. You have to understand something. We're called to be missionaries in our own city to bring this message that we got now. I heard a knock on the door, and there stood this woman with a check of $500 in her hand. He says that God spoke to me to give you this money. And I thank you for that. It gave me faith, not just the $500, but it gave me faith that God was looking after me. It gave me hope to go another day. I can tell you story after story how God put somebody in my life. These are true stories, and they're testimonies of people that are still here today. When I started, I went to, that will bring people to you that will discourage you. Ever been discouraged about believing something? Well, I was in a washroom. We were having a citywide pastor's meeting we have once a month, and a man came next to me in the bathroom. He said to me, you'll never make it. And I would never, ever think about somebody ever telling me that, I'd never make it. You'll never make it in ministry. You got this wrong with you and that wrong with you. This is wrong with your problem. I couldn't pay attention to it. But if I were to pay attention to everything everybody said to me, I'd never be here today. So my hope is in the Word of God. My hope is in God's Word and the calling of God, the way He told me to. Amen? And that's the same thing with you. You got to find the Scripture. You got to find the Word. You got to know exactly what God called you, what He told you to do. There's lots of times I'm sure you felt like quitting. throwing in the towel. It's easy to do that. It doesn't take faith at all to quit, run away. So when there was no reason to hope, Abraham hoped. He hoped supernaturally. So this kind of hope we're talking about, this is a supernatural hope that you have from God. This is not natural hope. This is not just wishing, pretending it's going to be okay. No, it's knowing that something's going to happen. Why? Because God said it. God said it. God spoke through the prophet Jeremiah, Jeremiah 1:12, and I'm going to read it in the Good News translation because it's just really good news. It's new. It's just right on. He says, you are right, the Lord said to Jeremiah. I am watching to see that my words comes true. When you take God's word and you stand on it as an anchor, God's going to make sure that this is going to come to pass in your life. If you hang on to the word of God and honor him, he'll honor you. You know what? Psalm 91:16 says, him that honors me, I will honor him. I believe that God wants us to honor him. So hope is a living force. Just like love and just like faith is. You know, the Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 13:13, the King James says, now abideth faith, hope, and charity or love is right between those two things. These three, but the greatest of these is charity or love. So these are great things to have in your life. Hope, faith, love, these are things that come from God. They're supernatural. We need that kind of hope today. Our God is the God of hope. The Bible says in Romans 15:13, now the God of all hope will fill you with all joy and peace in believing that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. We can abound in hope. We can move forward. Hope always moves you forward. Ha, ha, ha. It moves you forward. Amen. We can't just stay still. We're just going to wait around and see what happens. No, we're going to get ready. We're going to get ready. Things are changing around here. And Pastor Ken and I always tease each other. I said, I'm making changes next week. Every week I come in here. I said, there's changes coming and you better watch it. And he looks at me with trembling. I said, you're going to get everything that's coming to you. Yeah, he said, it's coming, it's coming. The Bible says in Hebrews 2:11, that's Paul speaking here to the Gentile believers. You know, the Gentile believers, they never had the prophets to rely on. They never had the Old Testament. They never had the covenant. And they have nothing. But Paul brought them the word of God. And God says, I want to include all those people who don't have a covenant with me. And he says this, wherefore, the Bible says here, in Ephesians 2:11-12, he says, wherefore, remember that you being in time past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called circumcision in the flesh, made by hands, that at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope without God in this world. You know, when you got God, they say, you always got hope. Right? So we were like those Gentiles, and we are actually Gentiles before this. We were a hopeless bunch. But now that we trusted Jesus, we've been included in that we have a God of hope, and we always can look at, no government can give you this. You can't earn it. You know, no leader can give you hope itself. I mean, thank God for some of that. But God can give you the supernatural hope. There's hope beyond the grave. I've been to I don't know, dozens and dozens of funerals this year, this last few years, lots of funerals. And seemed like I'm the go-to guy, they call around here. Let's get Roma. So I go, and sometimes you get tired of it, but, you know, if you look at it naturally, but I look at it from a supernatural standpoint, I got an opportunity to bring the Word of God. And said, long as you strengthen me, Lord, I'm going. Jesus, Paul said something that will astound us. Many said that death is final, but that's not what Jesus said. John chapter 11, verse 25 and 26, the King James says, Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. Verse 26, and so whosoever liveth and abideth in me shall never die. You know, you have to understand, you're going to transition one day from this life to the supernatural and into the presence of God. You know, Billy Graham says, one day you will hear that Billy has died. He said, that's not really true. I'll be very much alive. He said, Billy, are you afraid to die? He said, no, I'm looking forward to dying. I'm looking forward to seeing the Lord and Savior. You know, when you're well-versed in these things, you're not afraid to die anymore. You know, I used to be even as a preacher, but now I'm not afraid to die. I'm like Billy. I don't want to die now, mind you. You know, so I'm going to live to be a long, long time. Longer than Ken, I hope. So I could be at his funeral and say, Ken, what you want for your, what kind of song you want me to sing at your, what verse you want me to use? Can he say, anything you want, Pastor? You know, we always joke about these things, but hey, you know what? I mean, it's not a joke, but Let's not get too scared all the time, right? Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 4:13, there's hope even beyond the grave. I'm talking about hope, supernatural hope. He said those believers who were grieving, they were really heartbroken that they lost their loved ones, they had passed from this life and gone on to the next, and they didn't know what happened to them. Paul brought a word in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I don't want you to be ignorant or uninformed, brethren, concerning them which are asleep or have died, but that you sorrow not. See, God doesn't want you to be so heartbroken, so grieved that you cannot function every day. You cannot do your job, you cannot go to work, you're like this for days on end. God doesn't want you to be that way. He wants you to cry, yes, cry. Yes, let's grieve and let's be sad for a day, but it's a time to move on. You're not being mean. The Bible says, yet you soar not, even as others which have what? No hope. He's saying, you have hope to see them again. You will see them again. Amen. You know, I know that's, you know, like you got to get out of your natural mindset and understand this. So, don't send me an email. I'm telling you what God's word says. Yeah? Jesus said, anyone who believes in me will live even after dying. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. So in many cases, there's a great sense of hopelessness. But in that situation that you're in, you find supernatural hope. And you can carry on your daily affairs and you can interact with folks. Because you have supernatural hope. Knowing, you know, this will pull you through. Paul was in many, many hopeless situations in time. He said there in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8, the King James says, for I would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble which came to us in Asia, that we're pressed out of measure. You could have so much pressure in your life. Above strength, you could lose strength in those times. you're struggling and you just seem to be that those troubles are piling up, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Paul was in such despair, naturally speaking, with no hope. He and his crew were expected to die in the natural, and they wouldn't live through this hard time. They learned something valuable during that time, in that very difficult situation. In your time of despair, you can learn something valuable during that time. You got to find something. You have to find something during that time you're having a hard, difficult time. He says, let me just read this. I'm going to read this at the NLT, and I might stop right there. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 11. We think you ought to know, New Living, dear brothers and sisters, about the trouble we went through in the province of Asia. We were crushed and overwhelmed beyond our ability to endure. We thought we would never live through it. You know, I heard people all the time, I'm just about to give up here. I just can't live through it again. I heard my wife say it. I've said it sometime. Not as much as she had at that time. I like to put myself a little higher. But she's probably the one that's helping me up. She said, if this happens again, I don't think I'll live through it. Or I don't even go through it. I realize, you know, she tells me a lot of times, you know, we go through trials in our home, and I let her break down. And she lets me break down. About Friday, I always quit every Friday. I said, honey, I tell her, I'm not preaching again. I just can't, you know, this is it. This is the end. I'm quitting. I'm handing in my resignation. She said, okay. She lets me. She just said, don't you want to encourage me, honey? And I'm quitting again. Usually quit at least 5 times a week for many years now. And I know we read, and you know, and some of our mentors said, you ever feel like quitting? He said, yeah, I quit. I feel like quitting every day. He said, you can quit on Friday, but make sure you're back on Monday. So that's the way we handle it around here. I know our team, we talk about these things in our staff meeting. We go through different things like this. And yeah, you know, we do feel discouragement at times. Things don't go our way, but we know we have each other. You know, the Beatles had each other. You ever hear people say, I heard this morning, I have your back, but also want my front and my side and my top and the bottom as well. I want you to have all of me. God has all of you. So the, you know, Elvis didn't have anybody, just himself. But the Beatles had each other. So me and Ken, Steve, Kendra, and Anita, we have each other. But sometimes we devour each other. Okay, verse 9. In fact, we expected to die, but as a result, we stopped relying on ourselves. Okay? And learn to rely on God, who raises the dead. And he did rescue us from mortal danger, and he will rescue us again. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them again. We have placed our confidence in him. Whose confidence are you placing in that time? And we will continue. He will continue to rescue us. And you helping us by talking about us, criticizing us, on Facebook. No, you're helping us by praying for us. And many people give thanks because God has graciously answered so many prayers for our safety. I can tell you about storms. The storm at sea, Paul said, I never saw the sun for many days. And the fact they had a call the other day, they're crying because they never saw any sun for many days. And you know, your was it serotonin? Goes down, down, down. I said, oh yeah, just smoke a cigarette. No, I'm just kidding. I didn't say that. No. What you have to do is get into a light something, somewhere, right? That's what some people do is. I'm going to start smoking. That should make you feel good. So against hopeless situation, the Bible said that Abraham, against a hopeless situation, believed in hope. That word, He saw something. The blueprint was there. So in closing, we won't have any disappointments in God. We have God's word. Hope paints a picture of our future. God gives us a blueprint that we can trust in. God gives us joy and peace as we wait to see the breakthrough in our situation.